scripture we read says that the Word of God is forever settled. I believe those of us here tonight are here because that we believe that the Word of God is true. That we believe that the words written between the covers of what we call the Holy Bible is authentic. That the words that have been spoken, that have been written by the prophets of and the apostles of God, that we believe that that word is forever established. The Word of God has been called the incorruptible seed. The Word of God is called the Word of life, the Word of faith, the Word of reconciliation, the Word of exhortation, and the Word of His patience. It is called the Good Word. It is a lamp and a light, the Scripture says. It is both bitter and sweet, and it is quick and powerful. But most important, I want you to realize, hallelujah, that it is the Word of truth. In the beginning, the Word was God. Hallelujah, the Word was with God. It was there in the very beginning. And as Brother Hall taught us this morning, out of the first chapter of Genesis, six times God commanded, and six times the Scripture said, and it was so. When God says something, that's it. It's gonna happen. From the very creation, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And I want you to know that was 10 verses before He created the sun. He created the atmosphere. He separated the oxygen and the nitrogen, the hydrogen. He made it just right. He commanded dry land. He commanded the grass to spring up from nothing, and He commanded it to multiply. And I want you to know that through the many years, that the grass is still growing and it's still multiplying. He said, let the waters be abundant with life. Hallelujah. And life is still being born within the depths of the water. He said, sun, hallelujah, be there. He said, moon, be there. He flung the stars out, and I want you to know that they hang on nothing but His command. Hallelujah. He created the fowl of the air, every living creature and every living thing, and He said, multiply, and they did. Everything that God has commanded has come to pass. Everything that He has promised has happened or will happen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that He upholds all things by the word of His power. It was at the temptation of Jesus when the devil approached Him. It was Jesus that said, it is written. It was His word that He used against His adversary. There was Lazarus who lay in a tomb dead, and all He said by His spoken word was, Lazarus, come forth. And a body that had been there for 3 days, hallelujah, got to his feet and said, let me go see what creation wants. I heard my name called. Hallelujah, and I have to obey the word of Almighty God. There was a child in the city of Nain who lay dead, and the funeral was even in process. And he walked up to the child and he said, I, not just anybody, but he said, I say unto thee, arise. And the child rose. It was by his words that he told him, you can destroy this temple, but in 3 days it's going to rise again. They hung him on a cross and they put him in his tomb, and by his word, after 3 days he rose again, and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. The people of that day said, never a man spake like this man. God said, it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of my word to fail. And that word tittle is the smallest stroke within a Hebrew letter. Not even the smallest stroke of it's going to fail. Hallelujah. I want you to know that if one word did fail, hallelujah, that if one thing did not come to pass, I want you to know that it would all crumble. The sun would fall. The moon would quit shining. The stars would fall. Hallelujah. But that's not going to happen. The word of God is established. It's our very foundation. It's our strength in which we stand tonight. all the scientists of the world can theorize their theories. Darwin with his theory. The atheist, they can say that it's not. The agnostic, they can say we're not sure. Hallelujah, but it don't matter. It don't change a thing. Hallelujah, the fact is that the Word of God is going to stand forever. All Scripture is the inspired Word of God. And He said that it is profitable for correction, for reproof, and for doctrine. I want you to know that within the pages of the Bible, that there are promises, great promises that are going to come to pass. It's His Word, and it's going to happen. But I want you to know on the other side of the coin that there are some fearful things going to happen in this world. It's already written. It's already established. And it's what I want to preach to you about tonight. Some fearful facts of the Bible. Hallelujah. Brother Hall, if you would read the first scripture.
Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment.
This is His Word. It's appointed unto men that they're going to die. In James, the life is compared to a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, and then it vanished away. We all have an appointed time. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible said that there's a time to be born and that there is a time to die. All flesh that has been created will return unto dust. The fact is that we are born to die. The very second that we come into this world as a newborn infant, our cells start degenerating. We start a process right then and there of dying. It's a fact. It's just the way it is. And it's a no man knoweth the day, hallelujah, that they're going to die. The Bible says for us not to boast of our tomorrows, hallelujah, for we may not see tomorrow. It's a shame. It's almost, hallelujah, unbearable to think that we're born in this world. We work all our lives to try to build a house and a home for our loved ones. We work and sweat and toil, hallelujah. We make friends. We have loved ones. We have relationships. Hallelujah. But all these things are temporal. They're going to pass away. It's a fearful fact of the Bible that one day you're going to die. The preacher says that it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. We take our tomorrows for granted. And then death comes and calls our name. No wonder Isaiah and Peter recorded, all flesh is as grass, and man's beauty as the flower of the field. For the grass withers, it springs up in the morning, and the hot sun causes it to wither and die. The flower blooms in the morning, but in the evening time the flower has slumped over and it has died. This is the comparison that God made, hallelujah, about man. When death comes for you, I want you to know that you cannot stop it. You cannot bargain with it. Death is a fearful fact of the Bible, but when death comes, it's not the end. I want you to know, hallelujah, that it's just the beginning. Your body is mortal. It is made up of material that is going to decay and rot, but your body houses something that is going to live forever and ever somewhere. Hallelujah, the very second of your death, eternity begins. When you breathe your last breath, before your skin can grow cold, your flesh is going to be judged. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then judgment. Everyone will receive according to that he hath done in this life. The things that he has done in this body, whether it be for good or for bad. It's a fearful fact of the Bible. And you believe that the word of God is true. In Romans it says every one of us shall give an account. And we're going to be judged by the word that we say is true. No one can escape it. You can't hide from it. You can't outrun it. You can't buy your way out of it. Hallelujah. There was a man in the Bible, Brother Hall. Hallelujah. He thought that he could get away with it. The man's name was Ahab. Hallelujah. He ran for 3 years. Hallelujah. But when his appointed time come, even with a disguise, hallelujah, somebody just flung an arrow perchance. Hallelujah. Not really aiming. Oh, and there was one place on his body that was unprotected. And that arrow found that place. I want you to know the word of God is true. And when your time comes, there's nothing you can do about it. You rest assured, your sin will find you out. The life that you live on this side determines the kind of life that you're going to live on the other side. According to the word of God, there's only two destinations. Between life and death, we choose where we're going to spend our forever. You're, hallelujah, headed in one direction or the other. You have no choice. It's a fearful fact of the Bible. And I want you to know that it's a fearful fact that you're one step closer to that destination tonight. This is the unalterable decree of an almighty God. Brother Hall, would you read the second?
Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
What's it going to profit a man? He spend all his time working and sweating and toiling for the things of this world, and he lose his own soul. Because it's a fearful fact that when you die, you can't take anything with you. People are caught up in this world. They're too busy to come to church. All they have on their mind is a dollar. Hallelujah. Building a bigger house. Driving a better car. Hallelujah. Job said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return thither. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks of a rich man. Hallelujah. He thought that life was held together by the things, hallelujah, of this physical world. Hallelujah. The Bible called him a fool. Hallelujah. He was a godless fool. Hallelujah. Brother Hall, he didn't have God. He didn't have time for God. God cost too much for him. He was godless. And any life, less God is a life. Less joy, hope, and peace. There's less hope. There's less the promise of an eternal life in heaven. He was a rich fool. He didn't lay up his treasures in heaven. He was a self-centered fool. Did he not say, my soul? All souls belong to God, says Ezekiel. He was an ambitious fool who didn't trust in the divine provisions of an almighty God. He enjoyed the ease and comfort of this world, and he wanted to satisfy the lust of the flesh. But I want you to know that he was a doomed fool. Hallelujah. He wanted to build bigger barns. Hallelujah. But instead of barns, I want you to know that he got a burial. Instead of ease and comfort, he got an eternity in hell. Hallelujah. When you die, it's a fearful fact that everything that you work and sweat for and put ahead of Almighty God, it's going to account for nothing, because you can take nothing with you when you pass on. I think of the rich in this world, such as Elvis, Princess Di and her boyfriend killed in a tragic accident, access to untold millions. What good did it do them? All your money, your homes, your statue, who you know, who you are, where you live. None of these things impresses God. And when you stand before him, the only thing that you're going to have in your hands is a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Brother, would you read number 3, please?
Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat.
The way to hell is broad. The road is much larger. The gate is very wide. It's a fearful fact tonight, Brother Hall, that there's going to be more people go to hell than go to heaven. There are many travelers on the road to hell, young and old. I got a statistic from somewhere that said 87% of our children between the ages of 11 and 14 are hooked on either alcohol or drugs. That tells me 87 out of 100 between the ages of 11 and 14 are already on the road to hell. It's easier, this road to hell. It's easier just to go with the flow. You have the crowd followers, the people pleasers, truth haters, compromisers, people who want God to accept them on their terms. The broad way is never lonely, and it gets bigger every day. Think of the countless souls since the beginning of time that have made their way to an eternal hell. I want you to know tonight that hell enlarges itself without measure. It has no limitations on its growth. But then again, if you read the scripture, you read where heaven, it has defined dimensions. There's only going to be so many that make it to hell. But hell enlarges itself without measure. It's a fearful fact that there's more people going to hell than going to heaven. It's always been this way since the very beginning of time. You think of Noah. There was only 8, Brother Hall, that made it during the flood. Oh, think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Was there what? About 4 out of the whole city, hallelujah, that escaped. And even on the way out, one of them turned to look back. Think of today, how many people there are. How many churches are going charismatic. How many have let down on their standards. How many are going to be left sitting on a pew that goes to hell. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to think about this church and the people sitting beside you. How many of us are going to make it to heaven? And how many of us are going to burn in an eternal hell? The Bible said that there were those that thought they were ready. They said, God, we heard you teach in our streets. We seen you preaching. We heard your words. We even done things in your name, Lord. But he said, depart. But the problem is, they said they heard, but they didn't do. They were hearers and not doers. They seen, but they didn't obey. Hallelujah. They said we done, but they changed the truth of God into a lie. And they had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. Hallelujah. Many of us, I'm afraid, are going to be like Lot's wife. We're going to look back just before he splits the eastern skies. The straight way costs too much. You can't do this and you can't give up that. Narrow is the gate, because to go through the straight gate, you got to deny yourself. You got to endure trials and tribulations. That's the reason that most shun it. It discourages many people. But Jesus tried to get our attention when he told us the ends of both of these destinations. That the end of the narrow road was life, but the end of the broad road was destruction. There's no checkpoint at the broad gate. You can enter as you will. And it's a fearful fact tonight that it seems that people are pushing their way to get into the broad gate. They're in a hurry to get to hell. Hallelujah. Another fearful fact tonight there is a hell. When you die, your eternity begins. In the grave, if you're one of those that are fortunate enough to have seen the light and received the Holy Ghost, you will sleep one of the most peaceful sleeps in a place that God called paradise. But if you die lost without God, I want you to know that your grave is going to become hell. You're going to be chained. You're going to be aware of everything that's going on. Every craving you ever had in the flesh, you're still going to have it. Every message you ever heard, it's going to roll over and over and over in your mind. You're going to be tormented. Hallelujah. You're going to live and you're going to know. Make no mistake about it. There is a hell. It's in the Word of God. It's a fearful fact tonight.